What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We want to have the golf conversation, and you may be wondering why today. He was on the Midday Show yesterday. We just got done talking about his place in the latest tier rankings among NFL quarterbacks. We want to talk about it today. We could have picked any day in the summer, especially coming off of last year, but we want to have that conversation with you guys today. And John, that conversation is what?
I want to know if Lions fans, what type of faith do they have in Jared Goff? Because I know it was shaken last year when they faced the Washington Commanders in the postseason and Jared Goff had four interceptions. It wasn't his best day. It wasn't the offense's best day. There was plenty of other guys that you could blame for that loss. It was a career year for him, and it was on the heels of the career year until he had last year's year in 23. And he took up to the NFC Championship game. And in that season, there were times where he had to physically go out there and win games. I always reference the Tampa game where all the running backs decided that they were going to get hurt on the same time. And he had to turn into an elite quarterback for a day to go win a game for the Lions. He did that. And then he takes them to the NFC Championship game. And they did not lose that NFC Championship game because of the play of Jared Goff. They should have won it because of the play of Jared Goff. They didn't. So he doesn't get a chance to get to the Super Bowl. And we saw last year, that's the last thing that Lions fans remember. And it left a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And it should. But how much did that performance taint what he has done over the last 3 years for the Detroit Lions as your starting quarterback, as a guy that finished in the top five in MVP voting last year?
It puts doubt in your mind. And I'm going to say something about Jared Goff, and I don't know if you'll agree with it or not, but I still think he has a lot to prove. He's proven quite a bit since he's come to Detroit. He's resurrected his image and his career, and he's gotten full buy-in from the city. We heard the Jared Goff chants when he helped win them two playoff games, right? I mean, think about that. The Detroit Lions winning back-to-back playoff games, doing it at an emotional setting in Ford Field. Yet I still feel like he has more to prove. This year, he's going to be without Ben Johnson. Well, he's a big boy. He's been in the league long enough. He should be fine. Mm-hmm. He's got to replace two offensive linemen right up the gut, right up the middle. Does that impact play action passing? Does it impact pass protection? Does it impact him as a guy who's not overly mobile? Can he go from a good regular season, right? Mm-hmm. Top five in MVP voting, 15 wins in the regular season. Can he channel that into winning a Super Bowl, right? That was what LA dumped him over. They didn't think he could win the Super Bowl. They didn't think, well, this guy can't win a division. They didn't think he could win the Super Bowl. I think he can.
Yeah.
I think he needs help. I think he belongs in that tier two quarterback grouping that we listed. He needs the run game to be there. He needs the O-line to be strong. He needs his defense to keep the score from getting up into a shootout. I don't think it behooves Jared Goff to throw it 45 times in a game against Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen in a Super Bowl. So, of course, he's going to need help. You want to ding him for it? Great. I think it puts more on Brad Holmes, though. To make sure that he has that requisite support to do it. Because, John, he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the sport. Of course, you can win a Super Bowl with him.
Yeah, I think you can as well. And every quarterback needs help. Now, when you talk about Patrick Mahomes, he's already won a couple of Super Bowls. So he needs less help than everyone else. The Super Bowls that he lost, where did he need help? In protection.
Yep.
He was under duress the entire time.
It's a great point. I would say Mahomes and Brady, arguably greatest of all time, one, you know, is in Brady, one may be in Mahomes. What's killed them in their Super Bowl losses
is being under duress.
Yep.
And so, but there's different levels of assistance. You need a better defense than, and Kansas City's had a good defense, but you need a better defense with guys like Jared Goff, guys like Justin Herbert, and, you know, everything, and even Jalen Hurts. I know he is in that tier too. What did they have last year? A phenomenal defense, a great run game, and arguably a top two offensive line.
Yep.
I don't know, arguably top offensive line. But they were one and two along with Detroit.
Yeah.
So That's what you need for almost every quarterback to be able to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
But let me paint you, there's fork in the road for Jared Goff. That's why I think he has a lot to prove still. Scenario one, it's the same offense. Who needs Ben Johnson? He's accurate. He's composed. The offense remains one of the best in the sport, and this team makes a deep run and maybe even wins the whole thing. Scenario two, the O-line isn't good enough. The turnovers we saw in the postseason happen again. What are we saying about Jared Goff next year? We're saying we're stuck. We're plateauing. Like, this is critical for him, and that's going to be right when his extension kicks in.
Right, and this, you talk about critical for him. This is the year. Last year, we had talked about him on the periphery of being an MVP candidate. I know he was one of the final five, but it was either going to go to Lamar Jackson, it was going to go to Kyle Allen, or it was going to go to Saquon. Like, those were the three. And I know Joe Burrow had a great year, but you got to at least win some games or get to the postseason, I think, to be able to be an MVP candidate. So this year, if he ever has a chance to win an MVP, it's going to be this year because it's all on him. You've got a new coordinator, and you've got less of an offensive line going into the season than you had last year.
He'll have to be bigger in protections, more vocal.
Yeah, I mean, he is just going to have to be the reason that this team overcomes those odds offensively.
And that hasn't always been the case.
No. So if, and it's not only that, it's, you know, everything that is a negative going into this season for the team, or at least a concern, Jared Goff can overcome all of those by his play and his leadership on the field. And then you throw on top of that trips to KC, trips to Baltimore, trips to Cincinnati, trips to Philly, trips to Washington.
Toe-to-toe.
Like, this is the year. If he's going to win MVP, it's this year. And if he aces 90% of those tests or those concerns, I think in week 11, in week 12, we are certainly talking about, is Jared Goff going to win an MVP this year?
But I think we had some of those whispers last year. And look, maybe you're making the case that he would be more deserving this year. I don't think it really matters if he wins an MVP or not. Like, it's really going to come down to, don't turn the ball over four times at home in a playoff game and then go out and do that again and again and again. I mean, they may have to win four playoff games, and they might not all be in his backyard, and they might be in the elements, and he may get pressured.
But if you aced those tests,
you're ready.
Then you're certainly ready for anything that the postseason has to offer. If you go to Kansas City, and he's never lost to Patrick Mahomes, you go to Kansas City and get a win, that's a feather in your cap, and it prepares you more for the postseason. Possible Super Bowl matchup. Same thing with Baltimore. Same thing with Cincinnati. Same thing with Philly. That could be a matchup of the NFC Championship game. If you ace those tests, then yeah, you are ready for the postseason.
The Goff conversation, it's a sprawling one. Where are you at with Goff? Can he get it done? Do you fully trust him? Does he still have more to prove? Dan Campbell said he's good enough for Detroit. We'll check in on that conversation with Brian in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Good to hear from you.
You know what's funny, fellas? I can't, for the life of me, and I still can't get over, he took the Rams to the Super Bowl, and they still wanted to get rid of him. I can't get over that. Goff does not have the ability to play. If they don't win a division, they got to win four straight games. Goff doesn't have the ability to play good four straight high-pressure games. I put him in a – that's why Minnesota got rid of – that Minnesota quarterback had a great season last year. He folded like a 10 in the playoffs. That's why they got rid of him. Can Goff do it at the highest moment? And I don't think he can.
He needs help. He needs support. And you may say he needs too much help, but Brad Holmes is one hell of a GM, and he's got to put enough support there because...
Yeah, but he took the Rams to the Super Bowl, and then they gave him a monster contract at that time.
Well,
it wasn't until a year later or 2 years later where they're like, we want to move on.
But do you connect the dots he's saying then? Okay, we paid him. We couldn't support him. He collapsed. Well, what happened in Detroit? We've paid him. It kicks in 26. We're already talking about guys they won't be able to keep.
Well, how do we know we won't be able to keep him? Who can we not keep right now?
On this football team?
Yeah.
Like long term?
Yeah, I'm just asking.
J-Mo? I'm not sure that he's here long term. We've had those conversations.
Yeah, but that might just be, do you want to pay him or not?
And well, the cap is real. I mean, Holmes even acknowledges it.
Sure, the cap is real. Yeah, but they didn't, I mean, did they not go out and sign a second edge? Because they got to pay Hutch.
Right.
there are ways that you can massage the cap. And I know Gator likes to say this, like the cap is a myth. And in some instances, it is. So
how about Alex Anzalone?
I don't think in 26, I don't think Alex Anzalone rises to the level of any of the players that we're talking about.
No, but if you start losing, like that's a leader. That's a starter.
And then you have somebody like Jack Campbell that can fill those shoes.
Right now I have both. I only have one after this year. Like, again, it's on Brad Holmes to keep putting more coal in the furnace.
Sure, yeah, keep drafting well.
The point, though, is you won't keep everybody.
Not everyone.
Where are you at with Jared Goff? He was on the Midday Show yesterday. He was listed as a Tier 2 quarterback by The Athletic, their survey with GMs and head coaches. Can he get it done? I said he has still more to prove. And he's proved a lot, but he still has more to prove, especially with no Ben Johnson, new offensive line. Didn't get it done last year with four turnovers in a home playoff game as a double-digit favorite. Look, it puts some doubt in people's minds, so we ask, where are you at? Or said differently,
do you?
Do you believe? 248-539-9797.
So bad.
Edward in Detroit, what's up?
Ugh. Good morning, guys. When I hear my fellow Lions... When I hear my fellow Lions fans say that Jared Goff is going to lead us to the Super Bowl, I'm reminded of my good friends who connect with their ex for the third or fourth or fifth time. And they're convinced that this time it's going to be different, that he's changed and we're really going to work it out. Like the guy that called before me said, the Rams drafted Goff number one. They went to a Super Bowl with him. They gave him a big contract, but they woke up and said he's not the guy for us to go to a Super Bowl. They doubled down on that, and they win one with Stafford. So the hard question for us is that what makes us different than the Rams? What have we seen in four-plus seasons from Goff that would say that the Rams were wrong and we're right?
So a couple things, you know, Edward. I agree with you. I said it when they acquired him. He's shed some of that, though. I think he's developed more as a quarterback now than he was as a younger quarterback with the Rams. I think there's more moxie, there's more poise. I mean, he's not running a faster 40, but I think cerebrally he's stepped up. And I would say the Lions have done a good job putting a hell of a roster around him. Now, you can do it side by side with that Rams team that won the Super Bowl. They had Aaron Donald. I think Hutch is primed for a big year on defense. The line here in Detroit with Penei Sewell, you have a Gibbs, they had Gurley. You have a St. Brown, they had Kupp. Like,
and could Dan Campbell ultimately be better than Sean McVay? Sean McVay couldn't figure it. Like, this is the ultimate scapegoat. The reason they didn't win that Super Bowl is falling squarely on Jared Goff's shoulder. Like, McVay was the coach. He couldn't figure out that defense either.
Belichick
their offensive
him.
Line couldn't figure out how to block that front. They just, as an offense, didn't do enough. Now, the quarterback is the easy target. But there are other people to blame, and I think everybody is sitting there saying the reason they didn't win that is solely because of Jared Goff, and that's not the case.
It's fork in the road, because 2 years ago, he was a huge emotional leader, and he hit big-time throws to win multiple home playoff games. And then last year, he laid an egg. Well, this is the rubber match. Let's get to John and Livonia. Why is it going to be different?
Hey, fellas. One thing that's different this season with Jared Goff, nobody's talking about it, man. It's that dad strength, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Hey,
he's got more to play for.
Yeah, honestly, like, I see it a lot. Like, once athletes have kids, man, there's a different fire that wasn't there before. And everything on top of that, man, I think it's stupid to say he couldn't win us a Super Bowl. It's definitely possible.
Yeah.
I'm very hopeful, you know?
I think there's a lot of people that are hopeful, and I'm with you as well, that he certainly can go out there and win a Super Bowl for the Lions. It could have been 2 years ago, and we have no idea what would have happened in that Super Bowl because Gibbs fumbled, pass was dropped, and a ball goes off a face mask. Like, none of those things had Jared Goff's fingerprints on him. And you could say the pass drop, but he literally put it in his hands.
Yeah, look, he played well enough in San Francisco to win that game. I would put 3, 4, 5 things ahead of Jared Goff's play for why they did not win that playoff game in San Francisco. Last year, though, I'd make him the number one reason they didn't win the playoff game against the Commanders. And I know people, the defense was hurt. He had 4 turnovers.
Yeah. Without those 4 turnovers, and even with the defense banged up, we all went into it thinking that this was going to be a win for the Lions. Yeah.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right, Gator, I'm going to give you all the regions, and you tell me who you think is favored, okay?
Okay.
The West region is from Hawaii. The Southeast region is from South Carolina. The Northwest region is from Washington. This is Little League World Series teams.
I was starting to put that together.
Great Lakes region's Illinois, New England region's Massachusetts, Metro region's Connecticut, Mid-Atlantic region's Pennsylvania, Midwest is South Dakota, Southwest is Texas, and Mountain is Nevada. Who do you think out of those teams is the favorite? Those states producing Little League talent. If you had to bet on one, you would bet on?
Hawaii.
Interesting. Is there reasoning behind it or a guess?
I think because it's, because everything's so concentrated there, you're starting to see some really great athletes come out of there.
Interesting. I'm not sure logic follows, but I'll give it to you because Hawaii is the correct answer. Out of all the U.S. states, who do you think is the biggest long
Aloha.
Shot?
Aloha. Biggest long shot?
Yep.
I've already forgotten where the regions are.
South Carolina, Washington, Illinois, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Texas, South Dakota, Nevada, Pennsylvania.
I'll go Illinois.
Illinois is the longest of long shots. Well done. This man knows his Little League people.
Listen.
He knows his kids.
I know kids, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think another thing is you're able to play baseball 365 days a year in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. You're not able to do that in Illinois.
Nope. Nor Connecticut or Massachusetts. I am rooting for the team from Massachusetts to win it all. And the reason they're the ones that took out those New Hampshire kids.
Gotcha.
Go Massachusetts. All right. So you put in your show sheet, and I'm not sure I'm interpreting this correctly. Does the Hutch to Aaron Donald comparison make you nervous? No. It makes me stoked. But that was because yesterday Jared Goff said, look, we had the same problems in LA trying to handle Aaron Donald during practice. It's the same thing with Hutch. Why would that make me nervous? What am I missing?
Just wondering if that's just teammate speak. Is that somebody just pumping up a teammate, or is it real? You know, because we certainly saw a very small sample size last year.
Mm-hmm.
Only what was it? Five games, and he had seven and a half sacks in the five games, and led the league in pressures. And like 3 weeks later, was still leading the league in pressures. He was outstanding last year. I don't think that's a flash man. I legitimately think Aiden Hutchinson is a game wrecker, and I think he's. He's poised to have a monster season. But anytime somebody brings up a comparison to somebody who is universally thought of as being the best at his position or just universally great or whatever it is, I think there's always a, all right, hold on. Are you just saying that because it's your guy or do you really believe that? I mean, because we asked Goff about the backup quarterback situation as well, and he
said they're doing great. Yeah, I mean, it.
It's completely undeterred. And I wouldn't expect him to say anything else. And no. It's not that I don't believe him with the Hutch thing. It's just that, okay.
It wouldn't make me nervous. Would I be skeptical maybe of it? I'm not really. I guess I think it's... The problem is that you start setting this unrealistic bar. And when you set a bar that high... that he can still be really good and people will complain about the way he plays because the bar has been set so high. So I always try and just let them define themselves without putting too much undue pressure. I've changed here, Gator. I try not to put too much undue pressure. Okay. And people ask me, Bryce Underwood. Yeah, he's got ability, but you never know until the lights are on. And that's actually very true.
It is very true.
In Aiden Hutchinson's case here, I don't mind the comparison. I mean, basically, if he just keeps being a better version of himself, I think it's realistic to say, yeah, he could be the most dominant defensive lineman in the game eventually. If he keeps improving on what he did, but, and there's nothing about Aiden Hutchinson that scares me from a personality standpoint, or is he going to work hard, or does he have the motor? Does he have the drive? That was stuff from day one back in his Michigan days. It was never in doubt.
Oh, because he got hurt and he came back.
Yep. And he came back better than ever.
And he was a Heisman finalist, right?
Did he actually go?
I think he was a finalist.
I don't remember if he was a finalist or not, but I don't remember what I did yesterday. Anyway, so I'm not nervous. And I kind of expected. I guess I didn't think that was out of bounds. But also from practice, are we doing it to Isaac Tesla? Are we hyping him too much? And I don't mean we, you, and me. I mean, just in general,
I don't know. I'm ready to ramp up the hype train.
Are you?
I'm wildly impressed every time I see him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's I got it. Preseason games, sure, fair enough. But he's making all the catches, the contested catches. The touchdown he had in the back of the end zone was a well-thrown ball. Was also a great job of him to, you know, catch it, hang on to it, complete the process, the whole bit.
I think that was a four-year pro he was going up against, too.
He's doing the other things that you want him to do to be a great teammate. He is blocking like a champ. And the other thing about Isaac Tesla that I really like, he passes the eyeball test easily. He's a big receiver. We've talked, the Lions need to get a bigger receiver. Well, like 6'2", 6'3". This guy's legit 6'4", over 200 pounds. He runs a 4.440. He has a 39-inch vertical leap. All these things are just great, but now you're actually seeing it on the field where it matters. Whoa, the vertical leap, whatever. No, that vertical leap is what allowed him to make that touchdown reception and other plays that he's made. And I think that his willingness to block completely endears him to the coaching staff, of course, and will to his teammates as well. The other thing that I'm really buying into it is I saw the clip from the draft day stuff that they showed about the selection of Isaac Tesla.
Okay, so you're talking about the inside the den that the Lions organization puts out?
Yeah. So I saw the clip about on him when he was on the phone with Brad Holmes.
Yep.
And it also kind of got me a little emotionally too watching that because the guy grew up a Lions fan, right?
He's a Michigan kid.
And he's not expecting, you expect him to get drafted by the Lions, and then it happens as early as it did. And everybody, they had the video of everybody in his house at the time or wherever they were at watching it. And they're all waiting to hear who it is that's calling him. And then when he says, "Thanks, Mrs. Ford," I should have said, "Thanks, Mrs. Hamp," but he says, "Thanks, Mrs. Ford."
Yep.
Everybody in the room goes nuts.
Yep.
And because they realized, here's your dream. You get to play for the team that you grew up rooting for. I mean, the whole story is just, it's awesome. And he's got the talent to make it in the league. The question is, how big is he going to make it? And how big are the expectations going to be from day one when you are the, you know, fourth or fifth receiver on the roster? Might be unfair, and yet I can't wait to see him do great things.
It feels right now like it's still one of those secrets that Detroit knows about that other teams and other cities don't know about. And it might be a secret for a while because if Amon-Ra and J-Mo are healthy, you know, how many balls will get thrown Isaac Tesla's way? I mean, Khalif Raymond, Tim Patrick, he could outplay those guys in the preseason, the last two, and get into maybe that third receiver role. But, you know, we're at the still a secret just amongst us Detroiters here kind of stage. If it is all hype is all worth it, Kang, hype, are you worried about the hype when you got a quarterback saying that Hutch is like Aaron Donald and all the Tesla love that's going around? Do you think it's too much on either front?
No, I think it's real. And I think that when you're this good and you're in the tier that the Lions are in, which is the tier of teams favored to win the Super Bowl, yeah, hype comes with it. And I'm not staying away from it. I'm not scared of it. I embrace it. I look at, I take it head on. And Hutch being compared to Aaron Donald, to me, doesn't scare me at all because he's been that damn good when healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And the last, unhealthy season was just the last thing we saw. But before Aaron Donald was Aaron Donald, he had to, he had a, you know, 1, 2, 3 years in the league. Same thing as Hutch. I feel like this is just the beginning stages of Hutch being Hutch. And the Tesla thing, I think once people got over the initial shock, because I think obviously people were shocked when they traded up, not just for
not
receiver.
Everybody.
Well, yeah, I got lucky. I got lucky, but and damn it, that felt good. Gator was like, and you see Tesla's family cheering up and down. I was jumping up and down. Gator, all right, I wasn't even in the room or in the house with them, but. Then they got over that shock, and they go and look at his tape and his film and see his measurables. And then, you know, those are things that the Lions look for, right? The high risk or all that stuff. Hey, this could be something. And then when they hit the field and he's actually performing, I think there's a really good chance by week 2, 3, he could be the starter. I think Tim Patrick comes out of the gate because he's the veteran. He starts it. But if Tim Patrick shows some age and he's not as strong with the ball, he's not blocking, you know, downfield as he used to, because Tesla, those are things that he does.
Yeah.
He's got strong hands, high points the ball. He's a great blocker. He's a great blocker. And that's the things that they love on this team. And he's definitely the replacement for Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick's on a 1-year deal.
Big D Dog on Twitch says, I was confused by the Hutch to Donald comparison. Usually when Hutch is compared to most guys, it's with the last name Water Bosa. I think Goff only did it because he practiced against Donald. They played different positions, but he practiced against Donald, and Donald was disruptive in a way that Hutch has been disruptive in during practice. Debt313 says, I'm all on board with the Tesla hype train. Give me that Tesla Kool-Aid. I will drink it all. FBG25, I remember when almost nobody was liking the Tesla pick when it happened, including me.
Yeah. I mean, when they made the pick, my thought was, wait a minute, is that the Kings guy? That's crazy. And then it was, did they take this guy way too early? And things have changed.
Well, they might have, because did you guys see the Brad Holmes recently sat down with ESPN, and they went around and the ESPN guys were asking every GM, hey, what was the pick you missed on, you know, that you waited too long and you didn't get him. And Brad Holmes mentioned Puka Nacua was a guy that he was like, he really wanted him. He wished he pounded the table more for him, whatever. I think this is his Puka Nacua. You know, like he's not going to let that happen twice, you know. And he saw same type of measurables, right? And same type of, you know, just talent that if he gets the right coaching underneath him, could be a real star in the league.
Well, you mentioned that ESPN interviewer, and it's Kevin Clark from Omaha Production on ESPN2. Speaking of Tesla, he asked Penei Sewell, who's the most impressive newcomer you've seen in Detroit this year. He said Isaac Tesla. And he said, I'm not even talking about receiving. That man can block. That's Penei Sewell talking about Isaac Tesla. So, one to keep an eye on. All right, Gator.
He blocks like they drafted him to block.
Right.
I don't know. If you watch him just individually on run plays or when other players have the ball, he's looking for someone to get in the way of.
He knows that's how he's going to get on the field.
He's doing it all. New TV deal, something near and dear to the hearts of many, and artist renderings. We will get to that at 102 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Let's get...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
To business. If you want whether I'm an unreasonable Spartan fan, Odyssey.com Rewind. It's very simple, but I want to move to the Lions here. I don't care about preseason. I know that angers some of you, but hear me on something. This Tesla stuff has really blossomed since the other night. Caught a touchdown pass very fast. And look, Rico and I had a debate about the pick. I know, Rico, you didn't like what they had to give up. It wasn't like an ad hominem attack of the kid. All I brought up is, look, Arkansas had no quarterback play because Taylen Green is ass. In fact, that might be his middle name, Taylen Ass Green. And they don't throw the ball. So, you know, Tesla became this Razz score darling. You combine that with a podcast. Brad Holmes basically says his greatest regret here with the Lions is not drafting Puka Nacua here. And it's interesting because, look, this kid's in a really good spot, Rico, the same way Nacua was when he was with the Rams as a rookie. You had Cooper Kupp. You had weapons. He didn't have to be the main guy. And you have J-Mo, you have Amon-Ra, you have Laporta, etc. But Tesla, if you look at Tim Patrick or you look at Josh Reynolds, this kid has better size, better speed, younger. You know, Tim Patrick was out of football for 2 years injured. Reynolds is a bit player.
Right.
So I wanted to ask a question, not because he caught a touchdown pass, but just to have a conversation of this. Could Tesla be this team's true X factor? Could he be this guy that could take the Lions offense to a completely new place? 6'3", 6'4", depending on, you know, where you're reading about him. Mm-hmm. Has elite Raz, and he's never going to face double cover. You can't because of what's around him. Mm-hmm. Could Rico Beard be swayed that this draft pick is going to make a hell of a lot of sense by October 1st?
I could be swayed, Michael. Here's the thing.
Ooh, he's swaying.
You know what? Because if you say enough things and as you get more facts, you're allowed to change your opinion. So it's the catch 22 because I've been told that, you know, preseason means nothing. And this all of this stuff is whatever. But then I hear, well, he's great in preseason. Okay, is he great in preseason or does preseason mean nothing?
That's right.
So I'm at the crossroads. I don't like how much they gave up. I don't like the fact that they gave up 2 third-round picks for next year for this young man, for the situation that he's in, because realistically speaking, Mike, he's going to be the fifth option. When he's out on the field, you're going to have basically Amon-Ra, you'll have J-Mo, you'll have Gibbs, you'll have Laporta, and then you'll have him. He will be the fifth option. That's a lot for option number five. Now, can he take over Tim Patrick's spot? He could. You know, you're right. He's never going to get that double coverage, and he has a knack of getting himself open, but he's got himself open in 2 preseason games against guys who will not be in the NFL this year. So I need to see a little bit more. I'm not ready to crown him the way some are, but I'm ready to take a look and say, okay, maybe you can be that guy. I'm a big Tim Patrick fan. I like what he did last year. I like how he was able. He was the third down guy when everybody else was covered. If you can upgrade that, then you know what? That may be the thing that the Lions need, especially with the offensive line starting to gel. You know, he becomes Goff's new security blanket. I'm okay with that. I just never been a big fan of giving up so much to get this one receiver that I didn't think that they needed.
And listen, you know what? They might not need him now, but they might need him in a year when J-Mo's not here.
You know what? No, that's fair. Now, at that point, if you told me, you know what? We just kind of, we brought him in. He's going to be J-Mo's replacement. All right, maybe you got a steal because
think about it. 6'4", elite Raz. Here's a fun exercise.
Elite Raz.
No, here's a fun exercise. Just to show you this is bigger than just Detroit, right? The New York Times, Isaac Tesla rising. The Bleacher Report, Tesla, hyped by Lions, earning major role. Lions wide receiver, unexpectedly named fantasy football sleeper, Yahoo Sports. 5 things we're watching at Lions camp. Yahoo Sports, Tesla. Isaac Tesla hype is real. Lions rookie Isaac Tesla turning heads in camp. ESPN. I'm only, not that preseason's important to me. I just want to show our audience. This isn't like Mike and Rico. It's kind of a thing coming out of the weekend. My point would be this. He's a very unique player because he's not one of these gadgets. It's not like Tavon Austin when he came out of college. This is a 6'4 guy that could he be the next Brad Holmes draft steal? I don't know yet, but I think asking the question is fun. And look, he's identified wide receivers. right? He just got done saying one of his biggest regrets was not drafting Nacua here. What if this is that? That in year one, you're right, Rico, he's never going to get a big enough target share, but he could be impactful. Right. You well know, like you said, you're a big Tim Patrick guy, right? I want to make sure it wasn't Reynolds. You said Patrick?
Yes.
Hey, if you have two big catches that result in first downs in a football game, you had a big impact.
You did.
Third and nine, here's 14. Look, if that's Tesla, and then in the red zone, think about this. You're going to have Amon-Ra in motion or in the slot. You can't jam him. You can't cover him. Laporta is a transformer. You now have a 6'4 freakazoid to move around. What if Tesla becomes a couple first downs and a major red zone threat? I'd argue that's a major role.
It is a major role. I just, for the amount of hype that he is getting, it's just like, okay, guys, I understand. And David not trying to play the role of deflator. I'm like, you got a lot of options. Like,
you're not a deflator on this.
He's option number five that if I said right here, right now, on a fourth and eight, do you want to see the ball go to Tesla or Amon-Ra? You'd say Amon-Ra. Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm just screwing with you.
Right. But you'd rather see the ball in Gibbs' hands. Like there's so yes, I think it's going to benefit him because there's so many other options that, Mike, he's going to get lined up against some poor safety and beat the brakes off of that safety. And he's going to have that big time catch. Yes. I see that. My biggest concern, and I want to say it for the people in the back, I didn't agree with giving up so many picks to move up to get him.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean I don't like the kid. I don't see the potential. I'm just trying to figure out where he's going to fit in on this team. Now, Mike, you said something, and it may have been in passing, but if you told me he was the JMO replacement, I'm more willing to give up all of those picks. If you think he's going to be special and he's already on the team, you can kind of just keep this thing going. JMO wants to hold out. You can tell him to kick rocks.
He's got the size to play the perimeter. And look, this is where he was a mystery man. And luckily, we watch college football. Arkansas has no passing game. Do you realize in 25 career games at Arkansas, spread across two seasons, he only caught 62 total passes for a whopping 896 yards and 5 TDs? That's really not about him. Again, Talen Green, booty. They don't have a passing game. They're primarily a running football team. What if the fact that this kid was in a horrible spot at Arkansas actually helped the Lions get him? Reality is, if he played at Ole Miss, the kid might have been a first-round pick.
Wait, so you're telling me he's next Calvin Johnson then, right? Playing at a bad offense.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Now, they were running the option down there. That's a little different. Oh, my God. What was the quarterback? Was it Reggie Ball? Was their quarterback? He's like 4 feet tall.
It may have been. That's a good call on your part.
I gotta go look. But yeah, no, not quite that bad. Not that destitute. But I want to hear from Lion fans on it. Where are you at with the Tesla hype? You know, are you comfortable with it? Or do you think it's out of line? You know, look, I just think it's an interesting storyline. And while I don't value preseason a whole lot, if enough people are hyping this kid up and there is a draft capital to it, you know, look, the very thing that Rico critiqued is the very reason I value some of the discussion. They gave up a lot to get this kid. This isn't a sixth round pick who's going to be painting houses next month getting hyped. I do wonder if he's going to play a big role here. And again, I want to be careful. Big role as in important catches or important in the red zone. I'm with Rico. There's no scenario you become a top four target share guy. Top three, probably. He could maybe slot in fourth.
I mean, unless there's a major injury. Other than that.
Oh, correct.
Yeah. No, I don't see it happening.
248-539-9797. The Tesla files. Where are you at with this guy? Lion fans, I know you're hurting. Okay. I know you're still crying in your tissues from the playoffs. Do you want to participate? Do you want to talk about your team? Or do you want to do like National Tortilla Chip Day? Come on. Let's get with it a little bit. Elite Raz.
We'll open up the phone lines, talk some Lions football. Preseason game number two in the books. I imagine most of the conversation is going to center on Hendon Hooker. John, it's time, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's had plenty of opportunity. And just, I was really hopeful because I think he is a good personality. He's a good kid. I liked him at Tennessee. I was heartbroken when he tore the ACL. Excited when they had when he had a chance to come here. We're going to get a chance to see him. And now that he has had two full training camps, what we saw last year in training camp, what we're seeing now, he had the script in front of him. He didn't protect the football. He didn't get guys in the right positions. There were some drop balls, which aren't 100% on him, but the offense just was going nowhere with him under center.
Yeah, I mean, look, I read it as they benched him. He didn't finish the first half.
Oh, me too. 100%. I thought that he was going to be in there all the way through the first half. Kyle Allen was going to get the second. And then they were like, oh, no, we're not waiting.
And what happened when they made the QB switch?
Boom, right down the field, touchdown.
Jolt to life. Your vertical shots, playmaking down the field. Like, Hendon Hooker, the only play he made down the field was throw a hospital ball to Craig Reynolds. I mean, he scrambled for a first down, but every other third down was either incomplete or short of the sticks. He did not look the part of a backup quarterback. He did not look the part, most importantly, of a guy you'd want to put in a game for a key series late in the year or not ideally, but in a playoff game, right? And last year, they didn't feel comfortable with him in a playoff game. Have you seen enough to feel like he's improved? I haven't.
No, I don't think he's any better this year than he was last year. In fact, you could even say there was a regression because last year there was some glimpses of hope, right? His mobility, he was able to pick up some first downs. And then this year, it didn't seem like he had a good grasp of the offense, of protections, where the hot reads were, when he was going to be under duress. He seemed surprised at times. And it just, again, it's a mastery of the offense. You're out there, you don't have the number one offensive line in front of you. You don't have Amon-Ra St. Brown or J-Mo to throw the ball to, but you're also going against a defense that is not going to be the starting defense that you're going to be facing. And he just didn't have command of the offense.
Last year, the Lions broke camp with two quarterbacks on their roster. Would you feel comfortable if the two quarterbacks are Jared Goff and Hendon Hooker?
No.
So then let me throw out some names for you.
Oh, okay.
We could play a little bit of a game here. Hooker or. First name, Jameis Winston.
Oh, I'd take Jameis Winston just as a quote machine. Just give me the praying to the turnover, the pick six gods.
Could you imagine him in Dan Campbell's locker room?
Oh man, I'd take him just as a personality. But anyone you're talking about is going to have positives and negatives. He's had some starting experience. He's been able to go out there and move an offense forward. He's also gone out there and just absolutely self imploded.
So, but you would take him because they have three quarterbacks in New York and they're not going to release Dart, who they just used a first round pick on, and Russell Wilson's the starter. So they may elect to carry three, but if someone gave him a day three pick, they probably move Jameis Winston.
Right.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett, former first round pick. Could he do the job as a backup, him or Hendon Hooker?
Kenny Pickett. Okay. And it's not even close.
We're two for two. Taylor Heinicke, once upon a time, played in a playoff game and was right down the wire with Tom Brady. It's been a few years. He's with the Chargers. They, of course, have Trey Lance.
Yeah.
He would be the third guy. Would you rather have Heinicke or Hooker?
Heinicke. Okay. And I think Heinicke a part of the conversation
last year?
A year ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
How about this one? Drew Lock. I don't know what Seattle's going to do, but they have Milrow, who they drafted. Yeah.
Looked good.
And he may be their backup behind Sam Darnold. Would you rather have Drew Lock or Hendon Hooker?
This is...
If you hesitate, you probably keep the guy you already have.
Yeah. That's. I don't want either. Can I say that?
Carson Wentz.
Oh, Carson Wentz.
Free agent available.
That's an easy one. We talked about him last couple
backed
weeks,
up so. Mahomes last year. Doesn't have a job. Case Keenum. Maybe the Bears keep him as their backup or they keep Bajet and they don't carry three. He's an older veteran, has played in some games.
I would probably say Case Keenum.
Okay.
For those reasons, right? He's a vet. He's probably not on the level of a Teddy Bridgewater, but he's, I think he's clearly shown that he can be better than Hooker.
Kyle Trask.
Oh, Govs boy.
Tom's guy. Would you have him or Hendon Hooker? And if it's a tie, you probably keep the guy you already have. But Tom? Tom?
I would probably say Kyle Trask. I think there's a better upside. The issue is going to be when you bring in somebody new. Again, you're hoping you don't ever have to use him.
Yeah.
But Kyle Trask has not been a part of this offense. How long will it take him if he's got to come in week two against the Bears to get you out of the game? Is he going to be prepared enough at that time, or would you be better off with Hendon Hooker getting you out of that game?
I'd rather go with Trask, but it's not. I would not give up something to get him. That's the thing. Like, some of these names, you're going to have to give up something. Like, to me, especially Jameis Winston.
But he might be the only one. Like, what are the Browns doing? Are they going to carry four? Are they, like, actually, they have five.
No, they brought
in Tyler Huntley. Now, that may be just to get through the preseason, but like...
He's a Pro Bowler.
I'll throw him out then. Go ahead, take him.
I would say I don't think the Browns would be willing to give up Pickett. So you break it down.
You be their GM. Are you carrying five?
No.
Four? Three? Who are the three?
Bye-bye, Gabriel.
Okay.
After what Shadur did the other day?
Yeah.
So then Huntley, who they just added, was just the camp body. He'd be available again. Like, there will be someone from Cleveland that you could consider here.
Oh, there's no question. There'll probably be two or three that you could consider. I don't know that I would take, if they release Dylan Gabriel or put him on the practice squad and you get a chance to go pick him up, I would probably stay with Hooker over Gabriel.
Same. The other name you mentioned, Heinicke, I don't think he'll be available. This Trey Lance experiment, I mean, look, they may keep him around, but they're protecting Herbert with Heinicke.
Yeah.
First thing you do when you Google Taylor Heinicke is time running out in Los Angeles. If they want to carry three, God bless.
Well, if they think they're all of a sudden, maybe Harbaugh does. He's the smartest guy in the room all the time. So he's the one that's going to all of a sudden make Trey Lance good. Wouldn't that be ironic, John?
Looked okay against us in his first preseason game. I didn't see how he looked last night.
Seriously.
He looked all right last night. I mean, he did not look as good as he did the first time, but he did take him down and score a touchdown.
So, Hendon Hooker, the question is it time to move on? Maybe some people think it's still too early. He's still so young. We've seen these quarterbacks that blossom late. I'm just not seeing him turn a corner. And by the way, this is an extension of what we've seen in practice and what people who've watched every practice have also said.
Well, so I think the other exercise we could do is if this is the route they go, and it is Jared Goff, obviously, year one, Kyle Allen is two, and they're going to keep three and go with Hendon Hooker still on the roster and use a roster spot on him. I think that is that's bizarre.
Don't do that.
And so if he's on the, you know, the look squad, he's on the practice squad.
Does someone take him? Because that's the decision Brad would have to make here. I can't imagine there.
No one's knocking on the door for Hendon Hooker.
So then you stash him on your practice squad if you can get away with it.
Yeah. But then the question is, okay, go through that lineup and say, would you rather have Kyle Allen or Jameis Winston? Kyle Allen or Kenny Pickett or Taylor Heinicke? Carson Wentz, Case Keenum, Kyle Trask?
Two very different Kyle Allen games that we've watched.
Right.
Do you wait another week? He should start the third game, right?
I would think, yeah.
And the only guy that's available is Carson Wentz. Everybody else is on a roster, so you're waiting anyway.
Yeah, you're waiting to see if somebody, you know, gets released or if somebody's on a practice squad that you can pick up.
Chris in Redford, you got a take on this? You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas. John, go blue, buddy.
Go blue.
Hey, guys. The backup quarterback is not on this roster right now. I know Kyle Allen played good enough on Friday, but I'm sorry, man. You got Carson Wentz out there, you got the proven veteran guys. Go out and sign them, because if Goff goes down, we're screwed. I mean, you're going to count on Kyle Allen to get us to the playoffs? Nope. There is not a quarterback on this roster right now who's going to be a backup. It's somebody else that's out there that hopefully Brad Holmes will wake up and realize he really has to put protection behind Jared Goff if we want to have the season we want to have.
Well, think about it too, right? So this team isn't expected to win 15 games. It's a much tougher schedule. There's a bunch of stuff early in the season, opponents, coordinator changes, offensive line shuffling. If they end up losing a couple more games, suddenly you're in a spot where one or two games could decide the division, home playoff, you know, advantages, all that stuff. Do you really want to leave it to a guy you didn't trust last year in Hendon Hooker, who hasn't looked any better this year? No, you don't. Texter says the Hooker sack fumble was bad. I don't even think we brought up both turnovers. But yeah, he had two fumbles. Pressure came from the left. The line was okay. Says Manu stepped too deep, but Hooker had open routes, stepped into the pressure. Bad awareness. Not sure he's NFL ready. And Mike in Roseville says they brought back Bridgewater last year for a playoff game because they don't trust Hooker. This wouldn't be a surprise.
No, it wouldn't be a surprise to anyone if they moved on from Hendon Hooker. And the only thing it brings up is, did Brad Holmes waste a draft pick on him? And, I mean, you could talk about Levi Onwuzurike.
Broderick
Martin.
You could
talk about Broderick Martin, Ennis Rakestraw, and Hendon Hooker. I didn't have an issue with it when they drafted him because I thought the gamble was worth the risk.
Yeah, I want to push back, not to you, but the idea that it was a mistake. Not every pick's going to hit. Like,
no.
By definition, if the player doesn't pan out, was it a bad pick? I don't know. The thought process was there. The thought was, I'm getting a first round grade where I don't need to play him right away, where I can take 2 years in a favorable system, and I haven't extended my starter yet. At that point, Goff had not earned an extension yet.
Whoever graded him first round is not watching the same football I am. I've seen so many college quarterbacks play like he did and be garbage in the NFL.
Yeah,
there was no sophistication to the offense whatsoever. You know, so you can grade him all you want. And look, he is going to miss. But like, I don't have a problem with taking the Broderick Martins and the Onwuzurikes of the world where you see talent there and for other reasons it didn't happen. But when you take a quarterback, come on, man. You got to have some level of pro sophistication in college to translate over.
I think they looked at quick release, athleticism, and said, we can coach up talent. Right? That's the job of coaching, is to coach up talent. Hasn't happened.
Yeah, but there, you could look back at all of the quarterbacks that were busts in the first round.
Right.
And look at it and say, I mean, Kenny Pickett was a first round pick. I didn't think he should be a first round pick.
Same.
And there are coaches in the NFL that simply look at one or two things, a skill set, and say, I can make him a superstar. That's why these guys are drafted. That's why they stick around, because there's more than just one. There may be two or three. You only need one to like you.
Well, I'll tell you what. We talked about the Tigers earlier and Chris Fetter fixing people. There comes a point where you got to check yourself a little bit and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like you mentioned Pickett. My one back in the day, Christian Ponder going 12th overall. I'm like, this is laughable. I could see the talent and potential in a Ryan Tannehill. I think he went in the same draft maybe, and he went 8th. But the difference in player to Ponder, it's like, whatever. These guys sometimes, go to the John Gruden quarterback show back in the day. I mean, you'd think they're all Hall of Famers by the time he got done with them.
Right. That's a good point. 248-539-9797. The reviews of Hendon Hooker. And if you have other takeaways, John, we haven't talked about anything else from the game. 97-1.
So in the early going here, we have some breaking news from Allen Park. Amon-Ra St. Brown is good at football.
This just in.
Yeah, confirmed. He and Goff are on the same page, as they've now brought in linebackers. So it started with just wide receivers versus defensive backs. Now they have wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs going against defensive backs and linebackers on both sides, with the Lions defense in front of us to the right, Lions offense over to the left.
So basically just no Lions.
Yep, yep. It's the classic 7-on-7s, right?
Classic. It's yes. A classic.
But one of the texts we got is, how do the backup quarterbacks look with the starters on the field, or with, you know, better players on the field than they've played with and against? Seen some good, couple good throws from Hendon Hooker. I'll tell you what, as the Lions get an interception right in front of us to the right off a pass thrown by what appears to be Zach Wilson. Is he wearing number 0?
So Ian Kennelly, I believe, was the player that picked that off. For the Lions.
Is your boy wearing 0?
Just watching to see what the Lions are going to do here. Hendon Hooker drops back, throws a pass to his right side. It's caught out of the backfield. Yeah, Doug, he's wearing and it's caught by, looks like Amon-Ra. Yeah, I don't like the number 0 on a quarterback.
No.
I really don't. I don't like that at all. And kind of like you, I don't like the number 0, period, when it comes to football.
I mean, it's just, I go from I'm 1 to 99. Yeah, I'm not going to make a federal case out of this, but I'm just not a fan.
No.
All right, so look, the hype about Isaac Tesla, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Rico said they were going to talk about it after us. The morning show talked about it as well. the hype is coming from somewhere, and that somewhere is it's true that he does look pretty darn good. When a player sort of is off the radar and you have doubts about him, and then that player proves that maybe you were wrong, I think people get really, really fired up about that. I don't know if there's any greater example than Jared Goff. Boy, the Lions defense with another interception to our right. They're doing very well from what we've seen. But in the case of Tesla, and I guess I just don't want expectations of the bar set too high. Just let him be what he's going to be. And quite frankly, he's stepping into a top-heavy receiver room, right? Every target that Isaac Tesla gets is not a target for Amon-Ra, not a target for J-Mo, not a target for Laporta, and not a target for Jahmyr Gibbs, who are all proven great offensive weapons in their various roles. So the hype is coming from a legitimate place, but I'm not sure that the opportunity is going to be there for him to make too many plays. Now, one thing that happens, Scott, is perhaps you're aware of, players get hurt.
What?
And to have a ready-made rookie that can step in when called upon, I mean, that's huge. That's absolutely huge. If he does, he may live up to the hype, and we may not see him if everybody stays healthy. We may not see much of him. Look, everybody's got a third receiver. But when the time comes, when his number's called, is he going to make plays? Seems to have the physical skill set. And as Dan Campbell has said, when the pads went on and they got out of the pajamas, Isaac Tesla looked better and better.
I think he's got a big leg up on the other receivers. I think, you know, there's going to be really serious competition with Tesla and Tim Patrick as the season goes on. But that's not the only competition. You know, there are other guys. Lovett's out for this week of practice. I think he comes back hopefully next week. But, you know, Meeks is another guy who stepped up last week, had some nice plays. We've seen him make a couple nice plays already in this scrimmage. The other guy I saw about 2 minutes ago make a really nice play on a deep pass from Kyle Allen. Nice pass from Kyle Allen. Nice route and great catch by Ronnie Bell. There are other receivers in camp that are trying to make this team. Now, will they make it? Oh, beautiful pass there. Jared Goff just over the shoulder to Amon-Ra, which would have been a touchdown. Beautiful. He caught it. It just doesn't need to continue the route. There's a lot of competition. Now, how many of these guys can they just go right to the practice squad? Do they have to wait before they get to the practice squad or what? But there's always going to be competition. I like the depth in camp. This is not a thin group of receivers once you get past Jamison Williams. This is a really, really good group.
Yeah, potentially. And you know, I mean, a lot of that is riding on Tesla, but if he doesn't perform, Khalif Raymond has done a nice job for sure so far.
He's kind of a forgotten man as well, right?
Yeah, he kind of is. So bottom line is there's reason to be excited about some of what the Lions have as far as other weapons. But they're in their pass game, Jamison Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, and Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, there just might not be reps there for guys, you know?
Well, they're going to be on the field for sure. But, yes, you're 100% right. How many targets are they going to get?
Yeah.
Probably not many. You know, it takes a while before that trust is built up. But, you know, you look at the reps that third or fourth receiver, look what they got last year, the targets that they got last year and the year before that. They are involved. They're absolutely part of it. But the high-end players, they're really high-end players. And it is not going to be surprising to see it be, you know, heavily laden on, you know, while this team is trying to figure things out. With that offensive line, I fully expect Jared Goff to be going to a security blanket, which is Amon-Ra St. Brown. It is Sam Laporta. It is dropping it off, you know, in the flat to a running back like Jahmyr Gibbs.
So a couple things to just bring up. We've mentioned there's been a lot more completions on the Lions side of the field where the offense is going against the Dolphins. Defense at 7-on-7s. A lot more completions over there than we've seen with the Dolphins going against the Lions defense. It is important to point out Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill aren't participating right now. They are both in the back, Waddle down on a knee, and Tyreek Hill doesn't have his helmet. So they're not, you know, the Lions, great Lions starters look good, but they aren't going against the Dolphins starters. So there is that. But that doesn't mean
oh boy,
you got to do what you got to do, right? What's the old boy moment?
Well, the old boy was at Hendon Hooker dropping back, waiting, takes off and runs. And I don't know if that's designed. We don't know what's designed out there, what isn't. But if you're looking at decision-making, being able to go through the receivers, and it didn't happen quickly. It took off and ran.
Okay, so while the 7-on-7s go on in front of us, both teams have their linemen behind them on the far side.
I really want to see that.
I know, I do too. Plenty of discussion about the interior of the offensive line. The other thing that is a huge story is the other edge rusher. And, do I want to see Marcus Davenport go through a full practice of against another team and walk off the practice field with no issues? Yep. And Ahmed Hassanein, who got rolled up on the other day, I don't know what his participation level is going to be today. But, I mean, if those guys aren't doing the job, you know, call 1-800-ZEDARIUS.
Well, yeah, kind of. But at the same time, other guys are showing up. Elkanin Muhammad has played well.
Yeah.
Nate Lynn has played really well. They really like what he has done. And because Hassanein has been, you know, nice to see how he has started, although you mentioned that you get rolled up, but probably not serious. Let's hope it's not serious. And Marcus Davenport looking as good as he has, that call may be on hold for a while. I don't know. And I wonder, you know, one of the things I was wondering about this morning going into this is, has this group collectively done enough where it staves off the need to pick up the phone and call Za'Darius Smith? Or is it, would it behoove them to go ahead, just get him in here in camp anyway to add to the depth and, you know, see what happens, and what's going to happen is going to happen?
248-539-9797, something I'd like to see out of the Lions defense today, other than the edge rushers, and we've already seen it, we will get to coming up today at 11:20. Hush phone calls and feedback. What do you want us to monitor out here as Lions and Dolphins joint practice continues from here at the Allen Park headquarters of the Lions? We'll have a guest on after the show, talk about how it went today, all that. After practice is done, two joint practices, and then the teams will play on Saturday night at Ford Field. Hey,
what's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.